A new sefer, come on, come all. We're starting a new sefer. Today we'll learn some Rashi's in Bamidbar, Mirat Hashem. Tomorrow and Sunday we'll learn Rashi's about Shavuos. Tomorrow we'll focus on some Rashi's from Parshas Yisro, and then on Sunday Rashi's from Rus. Learn a little bit about Rus. So, the first Rashi in every sefer is iconic. Rashi wasn't just writing commentary, but he was very aware there was an educational agenda to his writing. He was aware that he was teaching. He was a teacher, not just a writer. And if you look at the Rashi's in the beginning of each sefer. So let's take a look at the Rashi in the beginning of Bamidbar. And if you think about Rashi in the beginning of Bamidbar in the context of all the other four Rashi's that start Svarim, you have very interesting trends. So the beginning of Bamidbar, the Torah describes, it's now the second month, it's Iyar, of the second year after they've left Mitzrayim about a year and a month earlier. So they left 13 months earlier. Now it's Iyar of the second year, it's Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and they're conducting a census. So Rashi says, wait a second. That's a lot of times that Hashem is counting the Jewish people. Parshas Bo, Hashem counted them because there's an enumeration in Bo, the 600,000 people that left. After the Egel, Parshas Kitisa, they're being counted before the Egel. After it's written before the Egel, by Mukta Mukha Batara. And now, when they built the Mishkan, they were counted. It was Echad B'Nisan, because a month earlier they were counted. But this is the fourth census in a span of 13 months, even less. There's a fourth, 13 months. So four times are being counted. Normally a census is conducted once every 10 years, once every 5 years. Here there are four conducted within a 13-month period. So Rashi says, this is a sign of love. The Kodesh Baruch Hu loves the Jewish people, so you're always counting, like money or things that you really care about, you wonder how much you have. So you're always counting as a way of connecting with it and just savoring the item. Now, that means that there are two Rashi's in the beginning of Svarim that talk about how much Hashem loves us and He counts us. Remember, Eilu Shemos B'nei Yisrael HaBayim Mitzrayimah? Why are the Shvatim being counted at the beginning of Shemos? They were just counted in Parshas Vayigash when they descended. So Rashi says, because Hashem loves us so much. So this Rashi in the beginning of Bamidbar is almost identical to the Rashi in the beginning of Shemos. There Hashem counts Shvatim, here Hashem counts population. But it's the same Mitel Chiba. Rashi talks about the stars there. And that also means that four out of the five Rashi's, which start Svarim, talk about how much Hashem loves the Jewish people. The first Rashi in Bereishis is Bishvil Yisrael Shenikra Reishis, and why does the Torah begin with Bereishis instead of Achodesh Zelachem, which is the first halacha, to show us how much Hashem loves the Jewish people, that He gave us this land, that if the nations want to protest and contest our rights to this land, the Torah reminds us that it's God-given, it's not subject to political twists and turns. Rashi, in the beginning of Shemos, Hashem counts the Shvatim because He loves the Jewish people so much. Rashi, in the beginning of Devarim. Remember the beginning of Devarim, Moshe lists all these places that the Jewish people traveled through. Rashi says that was a hidden critique. Moshe wanted to critique the Jewish people, but he loves the Jewish people so much that he's not frontal. He's not directly censuring them. He's just alluding to their failures by mentioning places that they sin. So four out of the five Rashis are about how much you have to love a Jew. Hashem loves the Jewish people. That's why He begins with the entire Sefer Bereishis. Hashem loves us in Shemos and He counts us repeatedly. Hashem loves us in Bamidbar and He counts us repeatedly. And Hashem cares about us, and therefore, even if you're a leader and you want to critique the Jewish people, it has to be softly and subtly rather than frontally and harshly. And the fifth Rashi, the one that doesn't talk about loving the Jewish people, is about how much Hashem loves Moshe. Hashem called him Mitoch Chivaso. So basically it means that Rashi begins every single sefer on a positive note. There's no sefer that begins on a negative note. If there's one word that characterizes all the first Rashis of the five sections, it's love, care, positivity, counting, whether it's to Moshe, Vayikra, whether it's to Am Yisrael, the other four. And it reminds us about positive speech and about saying things in the right way, especially when you begin something. Famous beginning of Tehillim, David HaMelech says, fortunate is a person who doesn't sit with the evil people, doesn't cohort. He should have written, it's a backwards conjugation, he should have written, Aruf, cursed is a person who does sit with terrible people, fortunate is a person who doesn't. The answer is, could you imagine if David HaMelech begins Tehillim with the word Aruf? So all the micography that people have in their living room with a big word Aruf, it's just instead of the word Ashrei. So it's about speaking positive. Of course, in the particular context of Bamidbar, not just in the context of all the other Rashis, this is very resonant. Because Bamidbar is a very sad sefer. Now, Midbar is a sefer that begins on a high note, begins with a lot of potential. They're on their way to Eretz Yisrael. They're marching to Eretz Yisrael. The Mishkan has been built. Everything has been settled. And by the time Bamidbar ends, they're stuck in the middle of Maaseh. They're stuck in the middle of the desert. They go from Bamidbar, which is on the way to Eretz Yisrael, Midbar Sinai. Now they end up in Masos, lost after the Meraglim, after Korach, after all the sins, after 40 years. So it's a very sad sefer because it's a fall. And it's a tragedy of Jewish history. So Hashem is saying, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how sideways it goes, I still love the Jewish people. It's a note of consolation. It's like one of the Shivat and Nechemta, one of the Haftarahs that we read after Tisha B'Av. Hashem says, this is going to be a hard read. This is going to be a sefer where betrayal. This is going to be a sefer of insurrection and mutiny. But I'm counting them because no matter how far they stray, they're my people, and I care about and I love my people. So it's a very interesting Rashi in the context of all the Rashis that start Svarim, but in particular, Avamikar. Okay, so how are they counted? So they were counted, the Torah says, Vayisyaldu al Mishpachasam. They were counted by families, and families were counted, and then to create Shvatim. So Rashi has an amazing, he's referring to a Medrash. I'll give you the entire section of the Medrash in a moment. Hivir Sefer Yechuseim. Every Jew brought a little app. They didn't have cell phones, so the little app was like a little pinkus, a little piece of paper, a little book. And in that book, they had, this is my father, this is my mother, this is my grandparents, my father's side, my grandparents, my mother's side. They had a Sefer Yichus. People used to have Sefer Yichus. They would carry around a book that traced their pedigree. This is where I come from. They all brought their Sefer Yichuseim. And then interesting, the Sefer Yichuseim, amazingly, Rashi says, Eidei Cheskas Leidasam. They also brought witnesses as to where they were born and how they were born. They didn't just have a pinkus, but they actually, I saw where Mark was born. I knew his parents, and don't worry, he's a fishkin. Don't worry, he's a Haman. They brought Edim. And why is this amazing? This is amazing because these were slaves. Slaves are torn apart from their families, sold as chattel. You don't raise your kids. You don't know your kids. Your kids are the possession of your master. This wasn't a 20-year slavery sense. This is 210 years. You've seen the movies. You've read the books about it. And it's not just slavery, but economic depression, economic hardship. It's hard to keep families together under situations of financial, economic duress, psychological duress, social duress, where you don't have organizations. Part of keeping a family together are social organizations. They keep families together, right? I'll give you an example. I don't want to say anything too insensitive, but for example, every once in a while, you'll have people who, not every once in a while, but sometimes very frequently, people that are thinking about divorce for all sorts of reasons. But, you know, it won't look good in the community. We belong to the shul together. We have so much history. We belong together to the school. And in some cases, they should be getting divorced, but in some cases, it's a positive glue that we still, even though we've lost some parts of our marriage, we still want to keep the family intact. We still want to be part of the community. We still want to... Those are positive reinforcements to marriage. Slaves have none of those. Slaves live in cells. Slaves live in dungeons. Slaves have no family bonds. And yet they kept it. And the Medrash that Rashi's quoting, the full Medrash that Rashi very often excerpts in the Medrash from, is that when the Jews were announced as the chosen people to receive Hashem's Torah, there were riots. Why are you choosing them? Why are you giving Israel to them? Protests. And Hashem said, well, look, they have their families intact, and that's why I'm giving it to them. Not because we're such saints and such Talmidei Chachamim and such, but because there's something very basic about a Jew, about a Jew's ability to maintain healthy, strong, solid family life, even under conditions of duress. That's why Hashem chose us, and that's why Hashem explained to the other nations, you know, take a look at yourselves. Single parenting, single fathers, extramarital affairs, lawless and reckless marriages, self-centered marriages. Part of our strength, and this is something which even outside of the Torah world, Jewish world is known, that the Jewish people just invest massively in their families. They commit devotedly to their families, monies, time, effort, concern. And families are the building blocks of a strong nation, a strong community. The communists made that mistake. In Russia, they believe that you could build a strong state without family units as the bedrock of the state. So they would strip kids from their family units and raise them in collectives so they could pledge allegiance to the Communist Party. But once you don't have family, the building blocks of society start to crumble, start to wither. So this is an amazing Rashi. It's an amazing Rashi. Again, Rashi is just quoting the specific scene of them bringing their little books when they're counted. But he doesn't quote the whole Medrash. The Medrash talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu deciding something very basic about a Jew, even, you see today, even Jews that aren't classically religious, that aren't devoted to ritual, to Torah, to much, anything. There's some Jews today that if you ask them what's their Jewish identity, they would say Israel. Thank God for the state of Israel. How many millions of Jews identify with the state of Israel? But there are Jews who don't identify with the state of Israel. And you ask them, well, what makes you Jewish? Many of them would say family. They would. There's something very deeply, deeply hotwired to Jewish identity. Thank God we've built higher layers and higher stories upon that. Israel, Torah, mitzvahs, and we want a multi-story building. There's something very deep in the Jewish heart, in the Jewish imagination, about our commitment to family. Okay, we'll stop here. It's a little bit lengthy. The two really interesting rashes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.